I have to believe he will beat the disease. What must he think behind those eyes? We ask difficult questions like, are you alright? Ooh, I have to believe that good things happen to good people we know. Good things happen to good people. I saved a bluebird when it was sick. Then we get older, then we learn some things. We can't always fix it when the phone it rings.
Hey, good peeps, Peg City and the Global Village. Welcome to Whoop It Up with UMFM, our Summer of 24 mini-series spotlight on the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival. They call me Bruce, and I'll be your host. The Whoop and Holler Folk Festival takes place at Cottonwood Acres, just outside of Portage-la-Prairie, Saturday, August 24th, and at Island Park in Pilapie, Sunday, August 25th. Since 2014, the festival has been a stage for a diverse group of headliners, new artists, and buzz bands, and a safe gathering place for every kind of people. Full details online at whoopandholler.com and all socials. Series episodes can be found at umfm.com. CJUM 101.5 UMFM is a proud media sponsor. Episode 6... Hello Fiasco with Eric Labossiere. Eric Labossiere is the lead singer, songwriter, and driving force behind Hello Fiasco, a progressive pop rock band originally from Winnipeg. They formed 20 years ago as the Mailman's Children and have evolved and grown and learned the hard way, but never given up. From playing anywhere, anytime, for any amount, or even a bar tab, to being very particular about the events and venues they perform in, Hello Fiasco has kept their first fans and continued to build a following. The digital age has helped them tremendously, with over 8 million streams. You can stream their latest album, Find the Shoreline, on all platforms and services. Hello Fiasco brings their rock and roll show to the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival Saturday night to close things out. Welcome, Eric Labossiere.
Thanks for having us on the show, Bruce. I appreciate it.
I was very particular to mention at this stage in your career, you're particular about where you play. You're not kids anymore, you know, and it harkens back to a couple of great rock and roll documentaries, one about Dio and one about Triumph, where they go, you know, they mention about how a big step in their development was not accepting everything and doing things that are best for the band. Before we get into everything else, talk to the musicians and let's talk about band empowerment and knowing when to say no and when to say yes. And you've had some very high profile gigs. You chose Whoop and Holler.
Right. Well, I think that one of the biggest things for us as a band is that because the core of our band has played together for a lot of years, we've seen a lot of different sides to the coin. And when it comes to recording and performing live, you know, our band has recorded with a lot of different producers in our early years, but then we had a plan to do bigger recordings. So we wanted to record with a producer that was not only up and coming and had developed a reputation for himself and John Paul Peters, but also somebody that we knew could get us onto a bigger stage. And that's kind of how we look at touring now and doing shows. This last year, all of our shows were headlining slots because we chose that. Obviously, we could have been on a lot of bills, which is totally fine and great. But at the same rate, if we want to keep progressing and moving ahead and play bigger stages, we have to show that that's who we are. So that's how we look at recording and performing now. And even though we'll still do other things off to the side, either individually or with other projects, as Hello Fiasco, because we want to be on bigger stages. That's our plan, and we want to have bigger recordings. That's how we look at it.
So what would you say to younger bands that are really concerned about, how do you know when to say no?
In the beginning, you can't really say no. I mean, even today, we could take every show. We had a lot of offers this last year, and we could take any show that we want. But the reality is when you're younger, you need to be playing as many shows and be open to not just doing your standard, let's say if you're a pop rock band or rock band, not just doing a standard rock show, but also being willing to do some unplugged sets, some duo sets. Just a couple of weeks ago, we did a headlining three-set show at a hot springs here in Montana as a duo, me and Joe, just because of how time worked out and we couldn't get the whole band. And so you have to be willing in the beginning to do any kind of show that's possible. But if you play your cards right and you make more and more contacts and you prove that you can draw people, you'll start getting offered headlining spots. And when you start getting offered those, it's kind of tough to take a headlining spot at the same time you're taking a spot at, let's say, a dive bar, which we've all done every time. And the people that are hiring you for a headlining spot aren't very excited when you're necessarily taking all those other gigs as well. So it's kind of a catch-22 where you want to be careful what you choose once you start getting some headlining shows.
And it's not local, but there's something about playing the Horseshoe in Toronto. There's just something about it.
Right. Well, you know, we all know that anybody from the Stones to the Tragic Hip have played the Horseshoe, and it's a small venue, but legendary, like it calls itself, because of all the people that have gone through it. And, we put in a bid to headline the Horseshoe, and they had us out to do that this year, which was an amazing honor, because when we were younger, we obviously wouldn't have dreamt of headlining the Horseshoe, even though we had played on a couple of bills there before. So that was a pretty fantastic moment to have all these other bands, you know, come up to us that opened for us, and they looked up to us and they wanted, you know, autographs from the guys and stuff, which is pretty humbling and even surprising, even though we've done our time in the industry. So we were very fortunate this year to play shows like that, and we're starting to, like, you know, we had just started to actually book shows on tour this year, and now we're going to go to town and do a lot more of that. But it's a great experience, a lot of fun.
You guys fall through their cracks. It's pop rock, it's catchy, it works in an arena, but then there's this technical prowess without the 15-minute yes solos or anything. Well, how do you fit in with the Whoop and Holler Folk Festival that's a small venue set in Cottonwood Acres in the wild, flowers. What is it that drew you to Whoop and Holler? And
well, there's a secret side to our band. On every, even as Mailman's Children, you know, Hello Fiasco, we surfaced a few years ago, but the core of us are from the Mailman's Children. And we've always liked the acoustic and folky and Jim Croce and Gordon Lightfoot and Simon and Garfunkel side of acoustic music, because we all grew up listening to it and playing it. And so even though we're a pop rock band, if you notice on our records, we always have a couple of tunes that are acoustic driven and have that kind of skill set of that kind of sound and songwriting. And so for Whoop and Holler, we're really excited to play it because, yes, we're going to crack on some of our pop rock songs, obviously, but we're also pretty excited to do some other originals or versions of our own songs, acoustic with arpeggios and all the fun stuff. We're even having John Paul Peters to come down and do violin on a couple of songs. And so we actually grew up doing a lot of the kind of things that Whoop and Holler Festival stands for and represents, which we're going to intersperse with our own rock songs as well. So we're pretty excited to play a festival where we get to do both worlds, where they know that we're going to be doing some of our rock songs, but they also know that we know what festival we're walking into, and so we're going to be definitely stripping it down for some songs and doing some beautiful, you know, acoustic and arpeggiated renditions of our songs. That's going to be great.
Technology managed to bridge the gap of 15 and a half hours. So 45 minutes is nothing to catch a great band like Hello Fiasco. They're pop, they're rock, they're technically proficient. So come on out, and they're a great cap to the evening at Whoop and Holler. Eric, what song should we leave the folks with? Perhaps something they can expect to hear?
You bet. Well, I'm going to give this one away, but we just, in the last month, we released a great animation video for the song. It was made by our friend Ariel Fodor in Winnipeg. And so I think we should leave them off with Gorgeous Girl, which was the second single off our album, Finish Fine.
It is, it's a wonderful video. It's great. It reminds you of, I mean, ask your parents, kids. But it'll remind your parents of why they sat in front of MTV for hours. Mainly because MTV played music. But anyway, Gorgeous Girl. Hello Fiasco. Eric Labossier, thank you for joining us on Whoop It Up with UMFM.
Thanks for having us, Bruce.
And thank you for tuning in and supporting independent music, arts, and events. Check out all episodes at umfm.com. All details, tickets, food, directions, artists, everything can be found at whoopandholler.com. Search Whoop and Holler on all social media. And please do join us in person Saturday and Sunday, August 24th and 25th. Until we meet again, be good, have fun, stay motivated.
You can afford to be